March 21, 2019, it's a Wat from Pedro show.
Thank you. Way, way back in the back of the wagon.
Way, way back in the back of the wagon.
I lay down and looked up at the stars. I saw a big old dipper and a great big dragon.
Big old dipper and a great big dragon.
Lights and a lantern and fire in the jar. Drink me up.
Like you were. Just like you were, just like
drink
you were,
my
love. Like you were, just like you were, just like
drink
you were, my
me
love. Like you were, just like you were, just like you were, my love.
Lightning in the jug, lightning in the jug, lightning in the jug. Way, way back in the back of the wagon. Hung my picture on the walls of your heart. We picked up the pieces of the great big canyon.
We picked up the pieces of the great big canyon.
Put it all together, it'll never fall apart. Drink me up.
Like you would, just like you would, just like
drink
you would.
Drink me up.
Like you would, just like you would.
Drink me up.
Like you would, just like you would, just like you would.
If I was lightning in the jug, lightning in the jug, lightning in the jug.
For Pedro Show. Happy Thursday. I'm starting a tour tonight, people. Strong Beach.
Strong Beach.
With Mike Begetta and Stephen Hodges. And Fingerprint. It's only 10 gigs. It's a little mini tour. But I made an album with. Well, I'll talk more about it further in the show. What's really important is Brother Matt has got pneumonia. So I'm at my pad. Everybody send him, flow him big fucking time well wishes, please. I love that man. And to hear his voice on the phone just a little while ago. You know, Brother Matt's big, strong dude, man. And I know this motherfucker is on him. Almost killed me 22 years ago. And in fact, me and my guests were just talking about this. Somebody's yanking on the leash. I hear John Colton. My leash guy plays Love Supreme when somebody's yanking. Yeah, through the wonders, miracles of those engineers who brought us Skype from Estonia, I'm not a man alone. In fact, I got with me. What you're on the east side of the river?
I am. I'm in New Jersey.
No, you are. So you're in Manhattan or Brooklyn?
I'm on the west side. I'm on the west side. I am in New Jersey.
We were just talking about Jersey City.
Yeah.
And places to play and. A great radio station, WFMU. Is that right?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I actually live a little deeper into the suburbs here, a town called Montclair, New Jersey, and but spend a lot of time down in Hoboken and Jersey City. And know her really well.
People, welcome aboard, Matt Davis.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Okay. And we start off with a little Melanie, John Coltrane, Miles Davis, and right after that, the latest project you got going, the Campfire Flies.
Yeah.
Way, way back. And let's go, Matt, way, way back.
Yeah.
What's your oldest musical recollection?
Well, I'm an oops baby. I wasn't supposed to be here. I'm 7 years younger than my next oldest brother, and I have a sister who's 10 years older and a brother who's 14 years older as well. So
you know,
it was 45.
I got a buddy named Bob Stiers, and he was in that situation, but he said he was called a martini baby. Have you ever heard
yes,
of that?
I see where it's going, and I'm sure that was involved, no doubt.
But it's like an oopsie baby, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. I was born in 1966. I don't think my mom was 35, 36, and at those days, that was pretty old to be having a baby. I think it was probably scandalous. But so I have these older siblings, and they were all big music fans. They had a stack of 45s. I think my earliest memories would be of a maroon, like, plastic flip-top little record player and playing those 45s. I remember the label, the Kama Sutra label. Now I know it's a Kama Sutra label, but I remember Summer in the City. That was the one I really, really liked to spin a lot. And I couldn't have been more than 3 years old, so.
Yeah, so it wasn't your record.
No, parents. I dug into theirs.
Your parents, okay. And they have a big collection?
That was my siblings. My siblings' collection I was into. My parents' collection, my parents were pretty musical, but they were.
You were saying they were much older. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, my parents were on the square side. I love them to death, but I think their cutting edge records were things like the High Lows, which I love the harmony, but it wasn't really setting me on fire, that's for sure. A lot of classical music, a lot of choral music from my parents. They actually met in high school. When they were both in high school choirs, that's how they met. And
they were kind of musicians.
Yeah, they were. They definitely had music in their lives, and it wasn't how they made their living, but I think every member of my family has the music very close to them, that's for sure. I probably do the most of it, but...
Well, Matt, let me ask you this. Was there instruments in the pad?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I think there was a piano in the living room, and we all took lessons. I don't remember their lessons. They were older, but I remember being forced to take piano lessons, and I'm actually really, really glad that I did. I can find my way around a keyboard now, but I don't know. I love the way the piano keyboard just lays it out in front of you. I mean, the math of it, you know, it's all there. It's right in front of you, and you can start to see the relationships between notes. So while I was not a fan of taking those lessons early on and all the practice and the scales and stuff, I really, really, really appreciate it now. I also die.
Well, you know, I've had a lot of, basically, the reason I have guests on because I want to learn about their music journey. And a lot of people have
right.
this experience and, you know, being forced into piano lessons. And
yep.
it seems like the common thread about hating it or, into it was the teacher.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Well, what about your speech?
I'm trying to remember his last name. His first name was Mike, actually.
Okay.
I can't remember his last name. Visually, in my mind, he looks like Grandpa from the Munsters.
Al Smith?
Right. Is that his name? Right.
because he was running for office and stuff. He kept going after that show.
He did, yeah. He's a character that you see his face in all sorts of things.
Yeah.
But my piano teacher was, I think he was probably pretty typical. I mean, it was rudimentary stuff, and just it wasn't turning me on because this is now 1974, 75. I'm starting to listen to AM radio more, and you know that's the sort of stuff that's more interesting to me than scales. And like a lot of kids, if it's not coming to you fast, I think you get disappointed and think you can't do it. Where a little bit of hindsight, you can see the value.
You know, thinking about that era, he could have taught you some Elton Juan.
Yeah, exactly. If you showed me
Rock, like Saturday
Man,
Night's All Right for Fighting,
Crocodile
Benny
Rock,
and
one of those.
The fucking Jets.
Absolutely. Crocodile Rock, I love that song, that's for sure. Teacher, I Need You, that whole record. That would have been the idea, but it wasn't what I was getting.
What was the first record you bought for yourself, man?
TV advertising got me. I got Goofy Greats, a KTEL collection, probably around the same time, 1974, 75. Yeah, it was like Itsy Bitsy, Teeny Weeny, Yellow Polka Dot Bikini, Alley Oop, those sorts of songs. It was all the novelty hits.
Alley Oop is Kim Fowley.
Right.
What was the first gig you went and saw?
I saw lots of musical theater and sort of classical music and, you know, classical music for kids sorts of things when I was very young. But it was Kiss and Maple Leaf Gardens, 1979. That was my first concert.
Okay.
Yeah.
In school, were you in the choir or the school band, the marching band, that shit?
No marching bands in school, but I definitely did. I started out in school choirs in elementary school, yeah. But I think, you know, prior to being in bands, my best musical training, and this goes, you know, this would be after guitar lessons, and this is after piano lessons and all that, I sang in a sort of a chamber choir in high school, public high school in Connecticut, and that ear training and, you know, being able to sight read melody and parts and stuff like that, that was probably, and just a great conductor, the best musical training I had, I think, by far.
Well, what about the thing where you, after school, in the bedroom, the basement, garage, that
right.
kind of stuff? Well,
so
you mentioned
middle school,
guitar. What got you on guitar?
Well, I think listening to records got me on guitar. Finally, I got my parents to believe that it's really guitar lessons that I want. But of course, they still don't quite get it, and I get the classical guitar, which again, I love a good nylon string guitar. They're lovely, and they get me classical guitar lessons. And again, you know, I'm now starting to think about talking to girls, listening to Kiss records.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't want to be Segovia, you know, I was looking for, yeah.
I
eventually
there's
got
a lot of grunting and squeaking.
What's that?
I don't know if you've listened to Andre Segovia records. There's a lot of grunting and squeaking.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't listened to any Segovia in a while, but he is getting into it.
He gets into it. I'm into it. I can relate. Parallel universe. It's all music, but
yep.
Especially when you're a kid. Peer
yeah,
pressure is really heavy. Look, I'm going to play this tune here, If Your Eyes Are Closed.
If your eyes are closed, it doesn't matter if the lights are on. If your eyes are closed, it doesn't matter if it's dusk or dawn. I can answer any question you wanna put to me. But if your eyes are closed, I can't help you see. And if your eyes are closed, it doesn't matter how smart you are. And if your eyes are closed, no matter where you go, you won't get far. I could tell you any fable you want to hear from me. But if your eyes are closed, I can't help you see. You've got to get him out of your head, out of your heart, and out of your bed. You're under his thumb and he's under your skin. Get him out of your life, let yourself back in. Cause if your eyes are closed, you'll never see these outstretched arms. And if your eyes are closed, you'll never follow me away from harm. Looking in the mirror, you know it's not a crime. But if your eyes are closed, it's just a waste of time. Thank you.
never follow me away from harm. Looking in the mirror, you know it's not a crime. But if your eyes are closed, it's just a waste of time. It's just a waste of time. It's just a waste of time.
cercata no cerca que vem invade a tempestade na chuta e não se acorda por todos os lados refeita e que meu peito still respira. A pena que a saudade guarda no coração. Saudade que a pena guarda na oração.
Embarcação. trees bear strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root, black bodies swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees.
cry, my tender one, say goodbye. 10 to 7, I greet the sun. Change my mind, no, not anymore. I'm not changing my mind. You could lock the door. I'm not changing my mind, no, not anymore. I'm not changing my mind. I asked my father. A brother knows what it's all about. We can't live with it, can't live without. I'm not changing my mind, no, not anymore. I'm not changing my mind.
Pedro Show, you just heard I'm Not Changing My Mind by the Campfire Flies. Before that, Lorne with Stuck in the System. Graph ahead of that with Pipeline. But it ain't the Dick Dale kind of version.
Mm. Mm.
No, this is the Dutch, what do they call it, power violence. It's hard for me to keep track of all the different kinds of subgenre.
Yeah.
What's the difference between shred, hardcore, and power violence? Crust. Yeah, things like this. Okay, Taff, I'll go ahead of that with Billy Holiday, Strange Fruit, from his new record. Hi-Fi Club from France, for Toulon, France. J'ai des sous les vins. Guided by Voices, Bob Pollard with his 102nd album. This guy. Windshield Wiper Rex. Whack Whack Kingdom ahead of that, out of Berlin with Sugar Pills. South London, Crushed by Pimps at Keston Park. And we started all off with If Your Eyes Are Closed by the Campfire Flies.
There it was.
That name's right here. Okay. What about the first time you played in front of people in a band or something?
Oh, boy.
Well, you were doing recitals with the choir, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I had that. But the first band that I actually did was more gag band than anything to sort of try to break up the monotony of, you know, Battle of the Bands in high school where everyone was, I mean, the most complicated, they're playing Siberian Katrub or they're playing some Journey song. So we decided, well, let's play some obnoxious music. And, yeah, we called ourselves the Intercorpses because, you know, it's mandatory to get death and sex into the name. And, yeah, we did not win the Battle of the Bands. And it was covers, you know. It was, I think we played Anarchy in the UK, which is kind of for suburban U.S. kids to be playing and trying to take seriously.
Did you use English accent?
No, no English accent.
Yeah, I asked because I had to do some Clash songs for some benefit stuff, and they got this one. I don't really know a lot of their stuff, but the first record I know, the singles. Right. So I played stuff off there. Then there's one tune called Garage Land, but right. They say Garage Land, and I just felt weird. It's like when people say Spot On or Cheers or shit.
Yeah.
It's like Top Shelf.
Up in Boston, they'll still say Garage.
Huh?
Boston, they'll still say Garage. There's still places here they'll say Garage.
Freaks. Okay. So it's not affectation with that letter A, is it?
No, man, yeah, probably not.
That's what I thought the circle A was about. Get totally affected. No. So was it scary?
Gosh, you know, I don't think it was particularly. I mean, you're only, yeah, you're putting yourself out there, but it wasn't. We weren't singing our own songs. We didn't have to take it too seriously. I don't remember being too scared.
What about outfits?
I think I had on a Mao shirt, probably, maybe a torn shirt, probably with some jam style graffiti on it saying "Youth Explosion" or something like this. You know,
well, like what you wrote on yourself.
Yeah, of course.
Sure. Yeah, we burned did that too. Me and D. Boone did that. Georgie had one in wife beater tops, and he wrote on it "Malice," but he started the M too far on the starboard side, so it looked like Alice. I think the first pictures we took for the Minutemen.
Nice.
Interesting. And, where'd your journey go with music from there?
So yeah, I didn't end up doing much more music in high school. Then in college, I was went to college up in Western Massachusetts, in Amherst, Massachusetts, and started playing in bands a couple of years into college. I was doing a lot of theater at the time too, but I found that I just was drawn more to music because now I started writing my own songs. I was playing electric guitar at this point, and it just felt more invested. I felt like I was finding a place, and I had a band started in Amherst around 1987 called The Vestrymen. And
right.
We played out.
We're going to play that a little later in the show.
Yeah, so we ended up opening for you guys. I don't know if you've had many years on the road, so no doubt this is lost to the mists of time, but we opened for Firehose probably 91. It must have been 90 or 91 at a place called Pearl Street in Northampton.
I played
it was a big deal for me. I'd seen you guys, oh boy, I feel like I'd seen Firehose sometime in the late 80s. I missed seeing the Minutemen. But I saw Firehose sometime late 80s, maybe at the Blue Wall in UMass, maybe. I can't remember. But yeah, it was such a huge deal for us to be opening for you guys. We got to play with all sorts of people then. I think I have vague recollections also, you know, Byron Coley.
Course.
Yeah. So Byron, we were good friends.
He's still living in West Mass.
Yeah, he is. Yep, he's up there. Hatfield. But or North Hadley. I know Thurston and Kim used to be at his house quite a bunch. Could see them. That was before they lived up there. We played softball on a softball team together. And for some reason I thought maybe you'd turned up at one of those games, but maybe not.
I lived on the East Coast till I was nine. I came here when I was nine.
Right.
So, Northeast, I lived a little bit because there was a nuclear, GE had a plant in Schenectady. Because my pop was trained in, we had to get a nuclear Navy up quick, so.
Right. Well, that's what he did. He was in the nuclear side of things with the Navy?
He was a machinist mate, and, he wasn't on submarines, but a couple of boats, nuke boats, Long Beach Enterprise, and then he worked on a sub-tender that worked on them, but he didn't want to go underwater. But Schenectady is near, Albany and that area.
Yeah, that's up Troy. That's up there, right? It's pretty landlocked.
So that's kind of the closest I live by you. So, yeah, you wouldn't see me play baseball. Sorry.
Right. Yeah.
That's kind of what's in between, though, Byron and Sonic Youth, and then you in some West Mass.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, living up in Amherst at that time, so, you know, I was a transplant there to go to college.
Yeah.
And, but one of the bass player in the vestryman, a guy named Timo Lipping, had
Timo, the guy Amherst who plays region. With like Yuka Honda and those people.
No. But okay. He did play with the Nakajima brothers at various times, I think.
Okay.
But he went to high school a little bit. I think he's a year or two younger than Jay Maskus, but they all knew each other in high school. But the vestryman, sort of like the Posies would have been in Seattle in the early 90s. The Vestrymen were more of a guitar jangle pop band in a town that was becoming known for Dinosaur Jr. and Buffalo Tom. Obviously, Pixies came out of UMass, too. So we were sort of the namby-pamby music coming out of a louder town. But we had a good run. We were... put our records in 90, 93, called it quits in 94.
And why? Why'd you call it quits?
For me, it was the age of 27, which I know later in life people say, well, age of 27 is a rock person. You've either got to die or quit. And I didn't realize at the time, but I don't know. It was some kind of moment in my life when I just couldn't face getting in the van anymore. I don't think the band, I think we're all friends now, but I think we were sick of each other at the time. Too much time together, sleeping on floors.
Familiarity breeds contempt, I heard someone once say.
Yep. Yeah, you certainly know all about the Econoline van. So I just walked away from it and ended up starting to work with computers and started a family.
It wasn't just leaving the band. You quit.
Yeah, no, I walked away from music pretty much entirely. I played a little bit.
So we can't blame the guys for everything.
Yeah, no. It was, I would say 90% of it was on me. Absolutely. I changed, you know, there are developmental psychologists who will talk about adolescence ending around 27 and big changes coming on. And I certainly look like a candidate for that theory. It was about a decade later that
27 wasn't hard because, well, yeah, it was all hard because I was such an idiot, but I was only 28 for 2 days when D-Boone got killed.
Oh.
So it was a hard time for me.
Yeah, that's...
Hardest ever.
I remember the news of that rippling through my own scene up in Amherst.
Well, his birthday's coming up. I never want to think about that fucking day, but... his birthday is going to be, it's April 1st.
Right.
Okay.
Wow, his birthday is April Fool's Day.
Yeah, right. For real. So it's coming up in a couple of weeks. So,
right.
That's okay. When I like to think of. Look, man, it's at the end of the first hour of the March 21, 2019 edition of the Watt for Pedro show. Oh, by the way, happy spring. We had the equinox yesterday. Special guest Matt Davis. Hold tight for hour two. March 21, 2019, it's the second hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
hotels and restaurants and theaters and retail stores without being forced to resort to demonstrations in the street.
Thank you. playground.
Off for Peebo right. Show. Started the second hour off with the Campfire Flies. Waiting to Shine. Then Pull Anchor, brand new. Waterins. Crew. This is, from Croatia. Sexa. In the 80s, too. Scriveni Magrom. Other live stuff from Trobakova, Kushne, Pesci. And then the Fiction after that, like Josh Frischel, Kingdom. Begetta, Keltner, and Watt. Okay. This might be Begetta, Jim Keltner. Last year, one day in North Long Beach at Big Ego Studio, I was invited to join these two guys, and, it was my first time meeting Mike Begetta. Actually meeting Jim Keltner, too, but I knew all about his work. Oh, my God. And so, talking about being scared. And this is Mike doing Blue Velvet. Everybody knows this song, but him by himself. But we did a whole album, and Mr. Keltner's a little older, so he's not touring so much. And that's Steve Hodges. He's going to take his place. That's what I'm doing tonight, Fingerprints. Now, Steve Hodges played drums on my first opera, Contemplating the Engine Room, so kind of reuniting us 20 years later. That's very nice.
Yeah.
Mike Begetta. We're going to do these 10 gigs. MikeBaggetta.com if you want more info. Then we had Deletions out of Philly with Merciless Bronze, The Odes, that's Ted Milton from Blurt with Can't Beat Blim. And finally, Go Back to Your Heart, The Campfire Flies. So let's talk about The Campfire Flies.
Yeah, it's these are some fucked up times we're living in. It's a podcast, I guess I can say fucked up. These are some fucked up times we're living in, and I'm really
it ain't that.
Happy.
Other people call it that. I don't call my show that.
No. Oh, that's right.
A company doesn't even make that fucking device. It's an MP3 file that can be played on many different devices.
A streaming MP3 show, yes. Gotcha.
You don't even have to stream. You can download the motherfucker.
That's right. Okay. That's right. But sorry for crazy interrupting. Times, it's really good for me to be making some very organic and it's quiet, but it's important music with some very good friends. It just feels like the right time to be doing this.
But when you get started, Matt?
How to get started?
Yeah, when,
I'm an import here.
When?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I said, when did it get started, Matt?
Oh, the Campfire Flies.
Yeah.
About 2 years ago.
Okay.
These are all musical friends of mine from here in northern New Jersey. John, Tony Baumgartner, and Ed Seifert all play in Speed the Plow, which, grew out of the Tripes, which are, they're all Haledon and North Haledon, New Jersey bands in the Feelies sphere. They're one big family, all the Feelies people. And also John Fried, Dina Shoshkis, who played in Hoboken in the 80s in a band called The Cucumbers. And I'd met all these people over the last decade or so doing my own music under a band called the Thousand Pities. And we all became good friends. And about 2 years ago, shows sort of came around where we all sort of found ourselves on stage together without a drum kit, and it's acoustic guitars and mandolins and banjos and accordion. we do make, the one concession we make is we don't haul an upright bass around. We do have an electric bass on stage, but it's all warm human music, and I, like I was saying earlier, it's just important to me making that kind of music right at this moment in time when you can't turn on a TV or a radio or whatever and not just feel like everything is fake out there.
Well,
so
between your band, you leaving your band at 27, and now, is Campfire Flies the first music?
No, so, all right, I'll back up a little bit for you. About 10 years after I quit the band, now we're talking 2007 or so, I really started to get the itch again.
Oh, okay.
And I firmly believe that, if you need to make music, you need to make music. And it doesn't matter if you're making money at it or whatnot. You have to find music, time for music, make space for those muscles in your life, you know.
Sure.
And my wife was always writing. She was like, why aren't you playing some music? And I'm sitting around, I'm gaining weight, and I'm grouchy. And I finally took her advice, and I started playing again, started writing again, and I was working on the computer at this time, because in those intervening years, all of a sudden it became affordable to be able to have a decent-sounding recording system in your own home. I ended up putting together a band called The Thousand Pities with a bunch of good friends, including a guy named Michael Carlucci, who was the guitar player in another New Jersey band called Winter Hours. I don't know if you remember Winter Hours.
Sure.
Yep. And my old friend Billy Donahue, who had been in the Vestryman on keyboards, on Hammond and piano.
Thousand Pities?
The Thousand Pities, exactly, and it was good, and it's been great. It's still a band that's, you know, it's out there, and there's more Thousand Pities material to come.
Yeah,
but
you didn't send me any.
I didn't send you any, really. I am remiss.
But you did send me some Ambivalent Brothers, some Cucumbers, and some Vestrymen. We're gonna listen to that right now.
I don't know when, I don't know why.
Thank you. everything you gotta know before I get in line. Space cadets are stupid. That means they're dumb. And I'm losing my mind over the sun. Mile after mile, mile after mile. When it rained today, when you went away,
Pedro Show. You just heard Needle Drop doing Space Cadets 2.0. Before that, the Ambivalent Brothers, Make Me Cry. The Cucumbers with Musicians I Know. And started all off with the Vestry Men Backyard. Now, I heard you mention Cucumbers and Vestry Men.
Yep.
Well, what about Ambivalent Brothers?
Ambivalent Brothers, one of my bandmates, Ed Seifert, who now plays in both Speed the Plow and the Campfire Flies. That was a band of his from the late 90s. I forget what song we sent you, but yeah, he's a talented songwriter. It's probably one of the songs he did with a guy named George Usher. Okay. He possibly wrote it with George Usher. Ed is sort of prolific. It makes me feel terrible because he's always sending me an MP3 of a new song.
You should send him. The list of records Bob Pollard's made.
Yes. Yeah. Good point. Yeah.
That'll be a humbler.
Did you ever, Kevin March, who's the current drummer in Guided by Voices, also lives here in town. And I know they tracked a bunch of the new record at my friend Ray's studio, Magic Door Studio, here in town.
Something about a Zeppelin.
Yep. Yep.
But there's also a Boston Spaceship Prodigy he's got, too. He works with Massachusetts people. That drummer's good. I got to play on the same bill as them maybe a year and a half ago here in Pedro. Yeah, nice guy. Huh. All the guys, Doug on the guitar and Mark.
Right.
Yeah, great cats. What about... Well, Vestry Men, that was an early band, right?
Yeah. So that's the band that I was in up in Western Massachusetts, late '80s, early '90s.
Right.
The band that played with Fire Hose a couple of times. We were,
Street. Now, there's two places you could play. I think I only played upstairs once.
Yeah.
I was always downstairs.
Exactly. It was downstairs. It was definitely downstairs.
I'm
upstairs.
I'm going to be in your town next week, or that town, not your town.
Yeah, you're going to be the Iron Horse, aren't
Iron
you?
Iron Horse, yeah, which I've played before.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get to the Coney Island Baby show next, I think it's Saturday night.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's the last gig of the tour.
Record.
Yeah, it's a great record. I love it.
Oh, you're most kind. Cucumbers? What are the cucumbers? Is in
cucumbers? They're part of that early first wave Hoboken scene. You know, I think they started out in Hoboken around 1980, 81 with the bongos and the feelies and the tripes and all the rest around that Maxwell scene. And Dina and John, her husband, who are both in the Campfireflies, are just two. There's certain people who sort of radiate light from within.
Yeah.
Not really sure how they do it. They are just you can also meet people where it doesn't feel right. But these two people are just the nicest and most genuine humans you could possibly meet. And the Cucumbers were their first band. I think they're college sweethearts, and they've been together for a long time.
Okay. What about this name, Camp Fireflies? Camp Firefly? I remember Virginia
there's mixed reviews on the name, and I like it because I think it evokes.
Well, where did it come from, Matt? Where did it come from?
Oh, that was nothing more than a brainstorming session with the band. There were a lot of names being tossed around. I can't remember. I'm sure there was a list. I'm sure there was voting. I think at a certain point it became, well, are we Camp Fireflies or are we Camp Fireflies? And it ended up being the latter. So it's Campfire Flies. Very important. These are important distinctions when you're in a band, of course.
Yeah, okay. Kind of hard to say.
Yeah, well.
I understand in a way what you're saying about warm, because you got an electric bass maybe, but a lot of stuff is kind of old timey.
Yeah, it is kind of old timey. It's I've always sort of wanted to make a Sunday morning record, you know, one of those records that you're a little bit frazzled, you don't want to upset stuff too much, so you put on something mellow. You might put on a certain jazz record, you might put on too,
There a Velvet Underground song called Sunday Morning?
Sunday Morning, sure. Yep.
Let's put that one on. Hey, we're at the end of the second hour, March 21, 2019 edition of the Watt Peter Show. Special guest, Matt Davis. Hold tight for hour three. March 21, 2019, it's the third hour of the Watt Peter Show.
That it was up to me. Don't want to wait around. The city kept calling me. I can't keep up feeling down. You better leave, she
How could I want? How could I want? How could I want anyone? How could I love? How could I love? How could I love anyone if you were thinking about Sean?
Western medicine relies on the fact that I do my dancing private Jerry. Once in the bathroom I was attacked by the insect urge to be higher than the slime in the chat room's handheld nets. You're through the butter like a transformed Eddie. No one can cover from a ballroom bed. No use running from a constant scanning headlight. Choices illuminating. One was miles was sustained still yet. One more astral is nauseating. No rush coming from a barroom bed. No use spread up from a constant scanning headlight.
March 21, 2019. I already said that. Sorry about that.
Still that day.
Okay. Start off the third hour with Lost My Places, Small Town, Campfire Flies. After that, Henry Kaiser with Fred Frith doing Three Languages. Then Globe Lamp. After that, with Shala Love. She was on the show a couple weeks ago. Midwestern Medicine with Urgent Opening. I think they're actually from Portland, Maine. And then finally, Crane out of Idaho. UDPIP. National Debt. Low. L-O-W. Okay, so where did you record this album?
A couple of different places, and then with overdubs in home studios. But the basics were all cut at a... I've forgotten the name of the guy, but he's in Bang on a Kang, and he's got a basement studio down the Lower East Side, sort of near Chinatown, Manhattan. And, yeah, we got, I think, 9 of the 11 basic tracks cut in a single day. And it's a different sort of a thing than, you know, there's not a lot of isolation, right? We're sitting in a circle and just letting the music bounce off of one another. That was a refreshing.
You don't remember the name of the studio?
Oh, it may actually be Bang on a Can Studio. I will have to look that up for you, and we'll have to, you know, beam it back to the people later.
Okay. I just wanted to give the cat credit, because if you got...
I know.
You got 9 or 11 songs, somebody was doing some good work.
Yep. No, he did a great job. His name is Rob Friedman. He's a really talented engineer. I knew him from... he worked on, like, the Dan Zane's Kids records, which all were fabulous sounding. Again, warm acoustic records, very similar. He did great work with the engineering. We also did a couple of tracks at Storybook Sound out here in New Jersey, Maplewood, New Jersey, Scott Anthony's studio. He does mastering and tracking there. It's a wonderful studio. We did 2 of the songs there. And the rest of the overdub is just, you know, a lot of the vocals and a couple bits and pieces of percussion came later. But it really is, we're really going for a very natural, warm, you're sitting in the room with us sound.
Yeah. And then, like you said, overdubs and stuff after. But, well, what about those other two? What, you actually spent 2 days there?
No, we spent the 1 day at Bang on a Can, and then we had these, we got as much done as we could, but at a certain point, we were just, the productivity was gone. So we abandoned ship at that point.
Two of the songs have no Bang on a Can, and, okay.
Right, exactly. They were done at this other,
and what was
this other
scene. Like, you were saying shit like, that's one of my songs. So you didn't write all the songs. People brought in their own songs?
Nope. Yeah, that's another thing I love about this group, as opposed to any other I've been, where I've sort of been the primary songwriter and singer. This group has 6 people who can sing, and all can play multiple instruments. 4 of us are songwriters, and a lot of people who just sort of take naturally to some pretty close harmony, which is something that I just never had the chance to do. I told you back in high school I really loved harmony singing. I love it. It just feels great. And this project's the first one I've been involved in where we could really work on that. And everyone's contributes their own stuff. It just fits really organically. I've been a happy
person. So Matt, let's fucking list the members. Give them credit.
Okay. So from hailing from North Haledon, New Jersey, we have John and Tony Baumgartner. They are the sort of core of a band called Speed the Plow, which has been around in various formations since the mid-80s, grew out of the Tripes, like I said earlier. Ed Seifert is also in Speed the Plow. He plays with Young Wu as well, who I'm going to see, Young Wu and Yola Tengo, in a few weeks down in Asbury. Young Wu is another Feely's offshoot band. Ed Seifert's a prolific and wonderful songwriter and just a human who would give you the shirt off his back, one of those all-around good guys. And then Dina Shashkis and John Freed, the folks we talked about from the Cucumbers, just beautiful people, and Dina's songwriting and voice are brilliant. And then there's little old me.
Great. I want to play some Speed the Plow.
for your hand, and I am
really not alone. I am really not alone. I am really not alone.
Reach out for your hand, and I am
really not alone. I am really not alone. I am really not alone.
Thank you. title of this piece is called Is Peck You Off. Whatever happens, we don't know. Each night is different.
My father looked at me like was crazy, remembering the time he felt the same way. Couldn't bring it back if I wanted. It couldn't be the same, too much has changed. I'm not letting go until I have to. I'm not going out through the window anymore. And I'm not letting go until I have to. I'm not going out through the window
Keller.
Yeah, right.
Mike McGinnis, good guys. So I was feeling a little pressure, but that was not from them. That was from myself.
Sure.
People asked music for this edition. Said and Done from Speed the Plow. And after that, Echo Test with Feck You Up. AB Normal, Interstellar Dreams, that's Philip and Big Bear. Spain, Charlie Hayden's son Josh with The Coming of the Lord. Finally, John's song, The Campfire Flies. Did John write that?
It's about his dad. Yeah, John Baumgartner wrote that. It's about his dad, John Sr.
Okay. What's your plans, Matt, with the Campfire Flies?
You know, keep playing some music on the 31st, last day of the month, the night after your Coney Island baby. We'll be in Jersey City at a place called Fox and Crow for the record release party. And we have a bunch of things lined up going into June, and I should have had that listed in front of me, of course. But we have
that's
the
right. Where can the campfire. Where can people find you on the internet?
TheCampfireFlies.com is probably the simplest place. We're on.
Spell it out.
Oh, TheCampfireFlies.com.
Great. So people, you can go to their website. You can find out where they're playing in support of this brand new record. Are you already thinking of the next one?
Yeah, we were already working on. And you know how these things go. You bake the cake and everybody else is eating it, but you want to bake something else. So we've already started working on a bunch of new songs.
You think it's going to be like a continuation of the same thing, or are you guys going to make a departure?
I feel like there's still stuff in this vein that we can be mining. And because we all have other projects that we work on, it's kind of okay to keep this in one space. And if I'm doing louder stuff with 1,000 Pities and Speed the Plow is a different thing for Ed and Tony and John. We'll see where it goes.
How old is the youngest person in the band?
I am the youngest person in the band at 52.
Okay. What about meeting somebody younger and them asking you about advice regarding music?
Oh, you know, especially now, I know so little about the music business anymore. And
I just said music.
Yeah, I would just say, you know what? Play what moves you. Play what moves you. Find people you love and play with them. Playing by yourself is fine. It's great. But you don't even need audiences. If you can find a garage, if you can find a basement where you can play with like-minded souls, I think that's really, really important in general. And in this day and age, I think more important than ever.
What musicians inspire you?
Oh, there's a lot of them, and they range all over the place. You have pretty eclectic taste yourself. I'm a big fan of Miles Davis and John Coltrane, absolutely, in that world. My own music probably grows out of a fetishistic love of the Beatles and all of that. I was absolutely influenced by so much music that was on college radio when I was in college, which would include the Minutemen and Firehose, but also I was a huge fan of Game Theory. I was still a huge fan of the Feelies, and they're still making music in that vein.
Game Theory, was that the guy who...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scott.
So sad, tragic.
Yeah, very, very sad.
Well, what you're saying is there's a definite connection between people and music.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's why I wanted you
to talk about, not lose that business word, because, of course, that's reality and stuff. But what you said was really good, I thought, Matt. And it's been a big honor and pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much
for sharing
your journey of music with us.
Well, thanks, Mike. Huge fan of yours. Thanks, and keep on keeping on.
Will do. People, it's March 21, 2019, edition of the Pedro Show. Our guest, Matt Davis. Keep your powder dry.